I'm excited, a little nervous about the future. You know, I've been in law enforcement for 39 years, but I'm used to, you know, being in this profession that long. So a little excited about the future, but a little apprehensive because you don't know. I think anybody that's been in this line of work, they always think they're in control, and though we're not, it is a little different because I'm not quite sure what all is going to take place.
No, that's true. And, you know, looking back, wow, you've had 37 years with the Sheriff's Department. What are some of the highlights over those many decades that you worked for our county?
Really, my whole time has just been, I just really enjoyed being in law enforcement. A lot of different challenges that came up over the time. But I think if I go back historically, when I started, I remember the technology we used, it what would be referred to as a wheel gun or a revolver. And we really thought we were coming a long ways. We were going to go to these speed loaders. You could have 6 rounds and you could just kind of dump them right into the cylinder. And it was that was big technology then. And today, you know, all the advanced equipment, you know, back then we used nightsticks. And now today, you know, we've kind of gotten away from that. We use a taser. Some of the things that we have progressed more in learning more about de-escalation. That's probably the biggest thing. Some of the changes, I think we are more empathetic. We listen better than quick reaction. So I think over time, we have really advanced the profession. It's been fun to see all the changes.
Now, when it comes to the profession, you know, which is everything that's been happening socially in our country this past year, it would be easy to say that it's not an easy profession anymore for people to get into. Are you finding that?
When I started, there was probably 100 that applied. And we just tested the other day, and we had 22. And that's kind of the same going throughout the country. I remember when I was testing, I was 21 years old, and I tested down in Omaha at the police department. There was 800 that took that test, and you know, I was in the top 100 or something. And I ended up getting on with the sheriff's office. And same with in Sioux Falls, there was probably 200. Sioux Falls at that time was the same size as Sioux City. So I got offered this job there and here, and well, this was home, and I was going to stay at home, so you know, it all worked out. There is definitely a number difference, but I would say this: the candidates that we have now are very committed, and that's really what we want, versus sometimes when the job market isn't that good and then people think, oh, well, I can get into law enforcement. And sometimes they last and sometimes they don't. But so I think the candidates we get now are very, very committed.
And obviously over that time, too, there were some things that must have been a bit difficult for you to deal with or to have happen while you were in law enforcement.
In law enforcement, one of the things that sheriffs and the state patrol, especially, both of us have to deal with is often death notifications because it's out in a rural area. And that is probably one that sticks with you, that you have to go to someone's home and tell the parents that, you know, their son or daughter or tell the wife or husband got killed. That is gut-wrenching. You never forget it. And so when I took office, we developed a chaplaincy program to have them come with us and help us, because that's really tough to do. And that's really not a lot of training, but just go and do it. And so we have changed that. We don't want you going by yourself. We want you to find a clergy member that can help you in this, because, you know, it's very difficult.
Now, I know one thing about you. I've known you for many, many years. You have a big heart, and I think that's evident with how you've operated the office and your work with the Sheriff's Department.
Service to others means a great deal. And I think that if you show kindness, you go a lot farther than maybe some of the other tactics. I think you you just are a better servant if you get down on their level and explain things and not be authoritarian. There is a time for that, but I think you go farther by having some empathy. And there's just difficult times people go through. People make mistakes and make poor choices. I remember when I worked 8 years in the drug task force, and we arrested a lot of people, obviously, for methamphetamine. It was really an epidemic. You know, it was huge in our area. And there's people making really poor decisions because of drug addiction. I don't think they were, you know, drug dealers per se, but the system that was in place at that time, I think, was sometimes unfairly, because if they had some past criminal history, their years of prison grew exponentially. And I'm not sure that was should have been the case, because they had a drug addiction. So I had a lot of empathy for them. And you know what? The nice part of that is, years later, they have a number of them have gotten out and become a good, productive member of the community. And I see them different places, and it's always feels good when they come up to you and thank you. And I tell them, you don't have to thank me. You are the one that made the change, and I'm proud of you, you know. So that's a good feeling. I think if I go away from some of this job thinking that maybe in a small way I was, you know, had an ear for people and took the time to listen. And that's, I think, the way I would want to be remembered.
With the new jail, that was one of the other accomplishments during your tenure. But there's actually a new mindset where, you know, you try to make sure that people have the tools they need mentally. I mean, you have a lot of people mentally ill who are in jail and that kind of thing. And I'm sure that's something that you guys have worked on over the years as well.
Oh, we have. And, you know, we have a gentleman upstairs that spends, Greg Brostead. We did that through American Correctional Health Services that we convinced the county to use. So we had 24/7 nursing. And Greg is, he can help us dealing with those people with some mental health challenges and try to get them on their meds, get them back into the community. You know, when we were housing people because they failed to show up for mental health hearings, it's just, I mean, it was hard to believe that that's what would happen, but the courts had no other. The court's hands were tied. So I think we all agree this is a horrible way to deal with people that had mental health issues. So we worked hard. And I think, you know, all 99 county sheriffs worked hard to get that change, some of that legislative changes, so that we didn't really have to have people with mental health issues in our jail. We've come a long ways, and there's still a long ways to go. But dealing with people with mental health issues and incarcerating them is just a horrible idea. And I just, it's just beyond me. But, you know, when you talk about the new jail, and I know it was a lot to bite off, but this building was decaying fast, and we were just going to continue to have issues. But the amount of people that we house in there now, it's just not designed for that. So one of the upswings, I think, is, as far as I'm concerned, that we could maybe get some people some not only mental health help, but opportunities. We belong in this program, the Boost program, where we take people. We don't house 16-year-olds, but juvenile extension does, 16 to 25. And we help them to get their feet back on the ground to possibly get back into the workforce and make some positive changes. So I'm kind of happy with that program. We'll be able to develop some programs in the new jail that could help us to, so we don't have people reoffending, because there is no success in our society as all we're doing is reincarcerating people. We need to get some behavioral changes. And some of that is through counseling and peer support and all these programs. And they are valuable for a community that's going to thrive.
So what is next for you? I know you've been a longtime referee for different games and that kind of thing. Are you going to still do that, or what's next for you as you retire?
I'm going to continue to referee basketball, because the way I put it, I don't think my wife can tolerate me in the winter. So she likes to see me go out. So and referee, so that way she can have the remote control. But, you know, I've done that for 23 winters. It's just been a great release from my job. And it's just something I enjoy. I enjoy being out there with the kids and the coaches and the athletic directors, developed a relationship over all those years with different coaches and athletic directors. It's just a great release, some exercise. And I don't know if I'm keeping up that well anymore, but I'm sure trying.
It looks like you also have something else you're going to be doing as well.
Western Iowa Tech Community College has asked me to help out with the Regional Law Enforcement Academy. I'll be overseeing that. And that's twice a year for area law enforcement agencies that hire new people. And then we'll have our regional academy here, which will save a substantial amount of money for departments instead of going to Des Moines. We can go through the short course here at Western Iowa Tech Community College. So that's a great program, and I'm just glad to be a part of that. And then I'm going to teach a couple classes to the police science program. I'm a graduate of Western Iowa Tech Police Science, so I have nothing but the utmost thoughts of this program. Always have. Graduated from it back in 81, and it's just a great program, and I'm glad to be a part of it. We hired the sheriff's office, local police departments, and state patrol. We hire a lot of people from the police science program. And so I'm going to teach a little, real comfortable with part-time, because I have plans to ride a motorcycle most of the summer and play golf.
That sounds like a good plan. Well, best of luck to you. And we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Is there anything else that you'd like to say, something that I didn't ask or something that's on your mind that you would like to share as well before you go?
Well, I would just say this. There's a couple of things. One, I wouldn't be able to do this as long as I did if I didn't have a supporting wife that really was my sounding board, my support, you know, just the encourager. So I owe my wife, who has always sat in the sidelines and been the one who cheered me on. She should get most of this credit. And then lastly, obviously, the public I have served for all these years. This has been a great community to be involved in. This is my home. And, you know, growing up, I'm sure a lot of teachers had me, would have never thought that I'd end up being the sheriff. But you know what? It all worked out. But in all honesty, I owe a lot to the public I serve. They have been more than gracious and have made this just a tremendous time in my life.
No, that's great. Best of luck. And maybe we'll see you out here at campus.
Yes, I will. Looking forward to it, Sheila.